these are just simple questions. What weapons am I going through, right? It could be pressure. It could be whatever. But I want you to understand that it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This is a promise from God, but it's not for everybody. It's only for the servants of the what? Of the Lord. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. If you're still with me, say amen. Weapons will form, but they don't have the final authority. Weapons will form, but they don't have the final authority. It says, again, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Again, God never said no weapon will be formed. He said they won't what? Prosper. They won't get their way. The world will not get their way. The devil will not get his way. The world will not get their way. The weapons that they're forming, yes, it's against us, but it means this. You may be attacked in your marriage. You may be misrepresented at work. You may be wounded by a family member. But guess who you belong to? God. If you're a servant of the Lord, if you submit to God and you live in his righteousness, guess what? At the end, you win. Because no weapon prospers against you. Go to Psalm chapter 34, verse 19. Do you have Psalm 34? Many are the afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the what? If you're doing right and if you're living right for God and you're not living in sin every day, guess what? You're going to face what? Afflictions. Some unnecessary because you bring it upon yourself, but others, God's going to allow them to come. Okay? These are weapons. But the Lord delivereth him out of what? Them all. That's a promise. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. No? Okay. Let's go. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. God wants us to use the Bible. Amen. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Man, I'm getting slow. Hold on. 2 Corinthians? Oh, my bad. 4. Verses 8 through 9, the Bible says this, we are troubled on every what? It's part of life. Weapons will be formed against us, right? We are going to face trouble, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, wherever we go, we're going to be faced with trouble on every side. Yet, not distressed, we are perplexed, but not in what? Persecuted, but not what? Forsaken. Cast down, but not what? What is this telling you? Very simple. We're troubled, but not destroyed. We're troubled, but not destroyed. Can you imagine a man going to the doctor's office and he goes for a checkup and the doctor comes, runs some tests and evaluations, comes back, and then when he's coming back, he has a serious face, has a serious look probably on his face, and he comes to this patient and tells him, hey, I have some bad news. You have a life-threatening disease. How do you think that patient's going to feel? Stress. Afflicted. Worried. Maybe broken. Without hope, right? Discouraged. The doctor says, I'm going to give you a referral to an expert. On this specific life-threatening disease. The guy goes to the expert. The doctor runs the test. This expert comes back. He says, hey, you do have a life-threatening disease, but it could be treated. You're not going to die. It's not the end. What's the difference? Hey, the weapon's real. He has a life-threatening disease. Amen? But guess what? It's treatable. It's the same way with the Christian life. The way you and I need to understand, this is how the enemy works. This is how the devil works. You say, what, Pastor? He forms weapons. They're called failure. When you fail at work, or when you fail at marriage, or when you fail at home in family, or child rearing, whatever it is you fail at, guess what that is? It's a weapon. But guess what? It's not your final say. Amen? See, weapons will be formed, but they don't have the final authority, my friends. Because the one that has the final authority in your life is who? God. Amen? It's God. The enemy will say, you know what? I'm going to form a weapon against you. You're going to be rejected. You go apply for a job, rejected. You go apply for a house, rejected. You go apply for, I don't know, a car. I don't know what it is that you go apply for. Amen? But you go apply for it, rejected. And I'm going to tell you something. Those weapons, they hurt. You know, sometimes our weapons, it's like what I came from, a dysfunctional family. But you know what? It's okay. That wasn't my destiny. That's not my fate. Why? Because God has the last what? Word. He's the authority. My friends, I want you to understand, during the week, it can seem like it's stressful. It can seem like there's affliction. And there is. And times can be hard. And you're going to fail. You're going to be rejected. And there's going to be dysfunction. We all face it. But you don't have to make that your destiny. You can choose to stay close to God because He has the final word. Amen? I hope this helps. I want you to understand, this is how the world or the devil, this is how Satan whispers in your ear and says, hey, this is how your story ends. If you let him, I'd rather put my trust in God. I don't want to put my trust in man. You know what man tells me? His expectations of me. And you know what his expectations are? Failure. If I would have believed that, I would have never got out where I got out from. Amen? It's the truth. It's cool, in case you don't know, they teach you, you are a product of your what? But my Bible says in Psalms, what is it? Man puts trust in chariots and something else, but I put my trust in the Lord. It's in Psalm something. I know I slaughtered that verse, but it's in Psalms. 118? How does it go? Yes. Yes. And then there's talking about horses and chariots too, but okay. It's right there though. It's in there. Amen. It's in there. The meaning is in there. You have to understand, I might not be good at remembering words, but I'm good at remembering His promises. Because those are the promises I had to hold on to. And my friends, it's not that I'm in denial, but I want you to understand tonight, weapons will be formed. That's for sure. But can I tell you, they don't have to be your final authority. What does it say? That's it. That's it. Because we think, right, that man has all the answers. And they have a lot of science, and they have a lot of knowledge. They have nice little chariots, amen? They have nice horses. But here's the thing. God is the one that's in authority. Yes, they might know what they're talking about. They have their education. They have their degrees. I get it. Here's the thing. I'm just going to depend on God to take me out of where I'm going through. These weapons, you have to understand, of rejection, these weapons of failure is what the enemy whispers in your ear. But I'm going to tell you this. God steps in and He says, no, that's not your final word. I'm the authority in your life. The weapon may be formed, but God has the final say. Amen? Hey, if there's a broken marriage, that's just a weapon formed. It's not the final say. Hey, that absent parent in the life of a child, hey, that's a weapon formed. It's not the final say. Those lies that are spoken about you, that's just a weapon that's formed, but it's not the final say. You say, Pastor, I'm a child with a parent that's broken and never been in my life. Listen, neglect is a weapon, but it does not have to define who you are. Just because I was neglected doesn't mean I have to neglect my children, right? It's not the final say. My friends, we as believers will be rejected. We will face failure versus the world. We will face criticism against the world will criticize us. But these are just what? Weapons that are formed. They don't cancel the calling that God's put in your life. It's already been decided. All we have to do is accept the calling. All we have to do is accept the invitation. God, who do you want me to be? God, what do you want me to surrender to? If you're still with me, say amen. Here's the second point. Words can wound, but truth will win. Again, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. I'm going to read the second portion of it. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, what does it say? Thou shalt what? Is that right? Thou shalt condemn? Every what? Every lie? Every what? Every criticism? Every what? Every doubt? Every naysayer? Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. How many of you ever been judged? You know what I learned at a very young age? Again, I heard this man called Les Brown. He has this statement that I live by, and I appreciate it. He believed in God too, but it's not a, I wouldn't say it's a biblical statement, but it's something that helped me growing up where I grew up. And Les Brown would say, never allow the opinion of others to become your reality. My reality was junk. It was dirt. It was violent. It was just a lot of despair and discouragement. But I love that because he gave me hope. People's opinion of me was that, well, he's a Hispanic young man with no father, living in a very violent area. He's going to either end up in prison, in the hospital, or dead. If I stopped, that's where I was going to end up. But I'm thankful to God that you get to this place in your mind where you realize, hey, I don't have to live based off of other people's expectation of me. I'm just going to do me. And you know what doing me was? I believe in God. That was me. I was naive enough to believe the Bible. I was naive enough to believe that there was a heavenly Father that had a purpose for my life, so everything that was happening, it was for me, not to me. I know this might not make sense, but it made a whole lot of sense to me. And it helped me realize this truth, that I don't have to live based off of other people's expectations of me. I don't. And can I tell you, neither do you. Those are weapons formed against you, in case you don't realize. Sometimes we live a certain life because we're expected to. We can't be real. I am what I am. I have nothing. I am nothing. And just by the grace of God, I am what I am. I can embrace that. I can understand that. Guess what? Nobody could lie to me about that. I embraced it. So should you. Because what happens, it's a trap. When you live for other people's expectation, what they expect of you. I want you to understand that these are lies. These are gossip. This is false accusations. These are people's will for your life. They twist their motives. They say they have good intentions, but they attack your character. Why? So they can rewrite your story and not let you be who you're supposed to be for God. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Amen? God died for you. He died for me. And you have to understand and get to this place that when God is saying that every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn, he's basically saying this, those words, they won't stand till the end. They don't define who you are. And I'm thankful that God gave me that hope. Those words did not define who I was. Neither should you let words of other people that don't have the best interest for you define who you are. You ever came across people when they hear something about you, they don't come and ask you? They already made up their mind? How many of you met people like that? Sorry, I have to do something here real quick. How many of you did that? I mean, have people like that? Raise your hand real quick. I wrote something down. I'm sorry, I have to come back to my office here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wrote down confirmation biased. What is that? I had to remember. Amen. I'm losing my thinking. Like, it's not as sharp as it used to be. Confirmation bias. What is that? Someone making up their mind about you already. So it doesn't matter if you come in and try to explain. That's confirmation biased. You ever had people like that? I'm telling you, I've had people like that. And I'm thinking, man, they're my friends. I'm thinking, that's my family. I'm thinking, these are people that's supposed to have my back. But they choose to listen to this story that's been made up. It's fake. It's false. But you've learned this. I can't live to please people. And if I don't have anything to hide, why do I need to defend myself, right? Why am I going to give life to a lie if my story's not the end? That's not my end. Follow me? This is what it's talking about. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt what? Condemn. It's not who you're going to be. My friends, can you imagine a man that's brought into the courtroom and there are witnesses, one after another, testifying against him. One is testifying against him. The other one is exaggerating the story. And then the other one comes and just is placing him at these different places and locations. And as the jury's listening and everyone in the courtroom's listening, this man is beside himself thinking, man, I didn't do this. But everyone in the courtroom, including the judge, they're believing this story because of witness after witness after witness are coming, falsely accusing this man. But then, what do you call that? The attorney that's for you? The defense attorney? Thank you. Then the defense attorney gets up. And then he gets up and starts producing document after document. And those lies start falling apart. Starts producing video footage. Starts producing evidence and proof that it was not so. Can I tell you? That's how it is with us. The devil is going to accuse us. The devil is going to form these weapons against us. But they're not going to prosper. It's not the way it works. Amen? Here's the truth of the matter, my friends, that I hope you understand. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. People may talk about you. People may assume things about you. People may attack you. Hey, Victory Baptist Church, can I tell you? And for a moment, it may look like they're winning. It's okay. We can walk with our heads held up high in truth. If you didn't do anything wrong, if I haven't done anything wrong, why should I? What's that word? Huh? Shrink. Yeah. Why should I walk like I'm in defeat? If God is telling me that no weapon formed, it's going to be formed, against me shall prosper. Why can't I be confident? Because pastor is going to show that you have no empathy. I've been accused of that. But you know what I figured out, Miss Carla? I've been through too much. Man, I've been through too much. I've been through too much to care about other things that are not worth caring for, sweating the small stuff. It's not that I don't have empathy. It's just I'm looking at people. I'm like, hey, come on, get with it. I do have empathy. But I've been through too much to waste time. This is my last shot that I have. And I'm not going to waste it for anything. Because I've seen what God has done to my life and where he's brought me out of. And I'm thinking, I don't have time to waste. And this is what God is trying to encourage you and help you understand, my friends, tonight, that words can wound, but the truth will win. There are times that, you know, again, people will lie, but if you stay clean, I stay clean. If we do what's right and continue serving God, guess what? He's going to clean the thing. God is going to help clear your name. You know, the person that's doing the talking or the people that are building that weapon. And here's the, it's not funny, but here's the irony of it. People that usually do that, it comes back and bites them or it ruins them. It like falls back. Because this is what people don't understand that make up these false accusations. There's a thing called time. And guess what happens? Everything that's hidden, yeah, will be seen. It'll come out to, you know, what is it called? Comes out to light. Yeah, because of time. People are going to realize, wow, this individual is the one that was saying this, or these were the people that were attacking, and you see their life, and it doesn't align. And you see the person that was being attacked, and you see it doesn't align. You follow me? Because it's called time. God's in control. We don't have to worry about it. Amen? And I just want us to understand, my friends, that, you know, there are times where I've seen situations, and I hate it, but adult children get to this place where they start blaming parents. I don't know of any here, but they use words as weapons. Like, It's not my fault. It's their fault. It's the way they raised me. Honestly, I have a hard time with that. And I'm going to tell you why, okay? Because I lacked a father, but I also had a loving mother. And for me, it doesn't click. I get it. I didn't live their life. I understand that. But in my world, I can't rectify that. Like, I can't, in my mind, justify to talk bad about the people that God used to bring me to this world and give me life. I just can't see that. I just can't. You can justify it and maybe it'll make sense, but to me, it will never click. It just won't. But I've seen adult children that do that and talk bad about their parents, and they use words as weapons. Oh, they ruined my life. But here's the truth. Let's say if that's true, because I could say my dad ruined my life. Let's just say. But you know what I had to end up doing? I had to learn how to walk before I can crawl because I lacked a father. I had to come to this place and take accountability for my what? Yeah. I had to grow up. And it wasn't my dad's fault. He didn't ruin me. That was just a weapon. So let's say if they just so happen to be right. It still doesn't justify their what? Actions. Take responsibility for your actions, right? Amen. I don't know why that came, but amen. Is there another verse? Galatians? Galatians? Do I have a Galatians chapter 6, verse 5? For every man shall bear his own what? Take responsibility for your actions, right? Luke chapter 12, verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be what? Revealed. Neither hid that shall not be what? Folks. Okay, I'm not trying to be in the flesh, okay? But when people act like, okay, let's just say I act after someone passes away like I had a great relationship with that individual. But while they were alive, we were just butting heads and we were going at it. Is that real? What would you call that? Fake, right? Hypocritical. There are people like that. You know what it's about? Yes, yeah, self-image. That's all that it's about. How am I going to look like? Because they want to portray that they had a great relationship with this individual now that this individual has passed away. But when that individual was alive, they couldn't stand him. Follow me? Well, guess what? For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. It's a simple truth, and here's what it is, okay? It's called time. Time tells everything. Time shows everything. You can't hide from it. Because those same individuals that had the same history and the pattern of doing the same thing over and over and over again, that behavior, will eventually what? It'll come out. What's real is real. I know that I don't like saying things like that, but it's true. You can't fake it until you make it. That's not real. I just want you to know that words can wound, but truth will win. Third point, and I'm almost done. The promise is conditional. God defends his servants, not what? Yes, not rebellious people, not rebels. Amen. It's not talking about the Confederacy, just so you know. Amen. Isaiah 54:17 says, this is the last portion. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. What, do you have it, brother? No? Okay, sorry. I mean, it's okay. This is where most people miss this truth. This promise belongs to servants. Who are servants? Those of us that submit to God during the week, not just during church, but during the week, you submit your eyes to not see things you should not see. Amen? Men? Ladies? You submit your eyes to only, right? A promise to see those things that you should see. You submit the tongue, right? Men? Ladies? To God to say the things that you should say And you don't submit or surrender your tongue to say things you should not say. Amen? Men, ladies? That's what this is. If you don't do that, guess what? Don't expect God to help you. This is truth. It's simple. You reap what you sow. It's that simple. Now, I'm trying to tell you that the Bible here is talking about, and their righteousness is of me. It's talking about those of us that walk in God's righteousness. It's not that we do everything right, but we're not living in sin. Living in sin is when you constantly, on purpose, and you know better, do the wrong thing. Can I ask you this question? Would living in sin be considered that I'm listening to the wrong information? Is that living in sin?
Yep.
Here, let me ask you this. Would it mean living in sin if I'm always saying the wrong thing, like gossip? You know what gossip is? I was trying to ruin people, you know, talk bad about people. Is that living in sin? Huh? Yes, that's living in sin. Let me ask you something. Is living in sin, men looking at things you should not look like at, like women that are not your wives, is that living in sin? Yes or no? I mean, we want preaching, man. I mean, this is the real. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's real, okay? That's living in sin. Now, here's the big question. Why would I expect God to cover me with his blessing that no weapon shall prosper against me if I'm not a servant of God surrendered to him? That doesn't mean you have to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. You continue. Here, let's take a look. Those are kids right there. We've never seen them. VBC kids. We're good? All right, let's take a moment here. Living in sin is different. That's when you, on purpose, justify your wrongdoing. And then you're like in denial about it, like, hey, I'm not sinning. Yes, you are. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. The promise is conditional. God only defends his servants, not the rebels. Not the rebels. That's the truth. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me ask you this. If the word of God abides in me, the Bible tells me that out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Okay. Yes or no? Do you agree? Yes or no? Am I making this up? Maybe a little bit. No, I'm not. It's in the Bible. Okay. Let me ask you this, Ms. Shante. If God abides in me and I read the Bible, amen, I'm going to speak out of the abundance of my heart. But if I tell my wife because I don't agree with her, I hate you. I don't hate my wife. I love her. Okay. There's no problem here. Okay. I love my wife. I'll do anything for my wife except sell my soul to her. But, you know, besides that, I mean, I'll do anything for my wife. Amen. She's like, too late. No, I'm joking. Too late. No. But if I were to tell her, I hate you. What makes you say that? Because that's not the spirit of the fruit. Yes or no? I mean, am I off on that? Am I off on that? Daniel, if I go to Mickey D's, okay, I like Mickey D's, and I go through your driveway window thing there, and I say, hey, I need some fries, blah, blah, blah. I do an order. And then you're like, yes, sir. But then you get my order wrong. Oh, yeah, okay. We're about to fight. No, I'm joking. No. But let me ask you something. If I was cruel to you, and if I said words that hurt you, does that show you that I have the love of God in my life? But guys, I don't know him from Adam. Why should I love him? God is what? God is love. Is that simple? We complicate this for I don't know what reason. Now, is it going to take a little bit more spirituality, right, for somebody that does you wrong, and then you're going to say, oh, I love you, my enemy? Yeah, it'll take a little bit more effort, right, because it's somebody that wishes harm against you, right? I don't have to love the enemies of God. I need to love my enemies. Two different things, too, by the way. But here's the truth. If God abides in me, if his word abides in me, Why would that come out of my mouth? Unless what? Come on now. Obviously, his words don't abide in me, but what abides in me? Come on now. No. Come on. Out of the abundance of my heart. The mouth speaks. Okay, so what's abiding in me? Everything I put in. And guess what God judges? The inner man. He don't judge this. He does not judge this. This is not a holy garment. This right here, if I took it off, and that's all I'm going to take off. And I do this, I love it. But if I do this, I'm not going to hell. I'm not wrong with God. Now, I like taking care of my stuff too, but this is not what God is talking about. Holy garments. We're so stuck on looking the part instead of being the part. Amen, Pastor. Because the promise is conditional. God defends his servants, not the rebels. 2 Timothy, you have that one? 2:19? Okay. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth what? Come on now. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are what? How does he know us? We have the seal of the Holy Spirit, like you said. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? From gossip. From what? From lies. From what? Pornography. From what? Being cruel. From what? Listening to the wrong things. Amen. Iniquity. The promise is conditional. God defends his servants, not the rebels. You know God has rebellious children in here tonight? Sometimes I be one. Amen. I act like a rebellious child. Guess what? How can I expect God to defend me if I'm living like the devil during the week? Amen? This goes for the pastor as much as it goes to you. Here's where I'm going to bring this to a close. Imagine we're walking, Tyler, I guess the outlet malls, if that works for me. Amen. I never go to the outlet malls unless I'm going to Discount Tire. Or maybe I go to eat. Never mind. Whataburger. But imagine we're walking. It's starting to rain. I have this big umbrella. I have Ezra with me. And I open this umbrella so that way I can keep the rain off of him. Right? So I open the umbrella. There's wind. There's rain. There's a storm. Right? And I tell him, Ezra, as long as you stay close to me, you'll be fine. You won't get soaking wet. But my son, kind of like you guys, and sometimes his dad, he acts like a little rebel. If I tell him, stay close to me, guess what he's going to do? He's going to grow a little bit distant, amen? Because he wants to do his own thing. Amen, children of God? Amen? And so what would happen if he starts getting away from the covering that umbrella provides from the rain, from the wind, from the element, the storm? What begins to happen is he starts straying away. It's soaking wet. What if he shouts, why am I getting soaking wet? Why? Because he stepped out of the covering of God. Of his dad. Spiritually speaking, that's what we do when we rebel. Throughout the week, what we do, this is what we tend to do. Oh, at church, we're spiritual. At church, we'll read our Bible, only time we open it. But when we go home, we step out of that covering of God, and we act like little rebels, and we expect God to defend us. And we wonder why we're getting soaking wet. Why are we experiencing the storms of the world? Why? Because his promise is conditional, my friend. It's only if you're close to him. That's where the covering is. That's where the protection is. Follow me? We cannot go around this. Victory Baptist Church, we need to get to a place where we need to abide in the Lord. Amen? We need to understand that the spiritual application here that God is promising in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, is like that umbrella. What do you mean, Pastor? It's real. What do you mean, Pastor? It protects. What do you mean, Pastor? It's powerful in your life if you're near him. That's the key. If I'm near him, that's the key. You say, Pastor, so that means I have to stay under his authority?
you got it. That's it. That's it. Don't go under your authority. Don't do your will during the week. Live under His. It's hard. It's okay. It's going to be hard because probably you haven't practiced at this, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you did at one time and then you stopped. I don't know. But I promise you, it's not about it gets easier or hard. It becomes who you are. And it's not that you're perfect without sin. That's not the point. It's that you now refuse to live in sin. You get it? You choose to be close to the Father. You get it? You choose to stop thinking, justifying, or being in denial of your sin. You start realizing, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to live in such a way that you can defend me. I'm going to have the type of lifestyle where you defend me, and I'm covered by you. I'm protected by you. You understand? We cannot live in sin because that's rejecting the covering of God. That's rejecting the power of God. He protects us from this world. He protects us from the attacks. Then you say, well, Pastor, how come I'm having a miserable time? Here's the question I'm going to ask you. Why do you complain when you're soaking in life? During the week, do you complain? Okay, I'll be the first one, okay? I complain. Amen? I complain. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Shante. We're the only spiritual ones. Amen. No, I'm joking. We just need a lot of work, and that's how that means. But I complain. And then you know what I have to do? Catch myself. Is this what God wants me to do? Or does He want me to trust Him? What do you think God wants us to do? Pastor, it's hard. Man, it's not to you. It's for you, my son, my daughter. This is what God is saying. It's for you. All you need to do is get close to me. Weapons will be formed. You will be rejected. You will fail. You will go through hardships. But I'm going to tell you, they won't prosper. That's not the end of your story. Get close. Amen? That's the key. The promise is conditional. God defends His servants, not rebels. I'll close with this. You can't reject the truth and expect victory. I mean, that's true. Amen? If the weapon right now, whatever weapon you're experiencing right now in your life, I don't know what it is, okay? And I'll be honest with you, like a shotgun preacher, I could get lucky, okay? But here's the truth. That's not the important part. Whatever weapon right now that you're experiencing in your life, I'm trying to tell you, if it's winning in your life, it may not be the devil. It may be your own disobedience. And I'm dodging for tomatoes, amen? It might not be the devil. And if it's not the devil, guess what? You can fix it. If it's my disobedience, guess what I can do? Stop doing wrong, stop living in sin, and do right. I can fix this. You can fix this, right? That's the key. If it's the devil, then you're going through a test. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know what he's trying to teach you. But here's the truth. It might not be the devil. It just might be your spiritual walk with God. Are you disobeying one way or another? If your marriage is falling apart, it's probably because God is being ignored. That's the only reason the weapon prospers. I'm not saying marriage is easy. Amen. But I tell you this, you don't have to fail at it. Your marriage doesn't have to be destroyed. Amen? If your family's being destroyed, it might be because of your disobedience. I want to help us get back to the covering of God. Now, again, I don't know who this applies to. I'm just trying to tell you, this is how the Bible works. It's spiritual. It goes beyond what we wear. Because right now, everybody looks nice, everybody looks happy, everybody has their Bible. I even comb my one hair, amen? I look the part, but you don't know what's inside. Just like I don't know what's inside in you. I mean, I could see behaviors because your mind creates an emotion that creates your behavior. I understand that. But I don't know specifics. I'm just trying to tell you, listen, I'm trying to throw you a lifesaver? Lifeline? That's all I'm trying to do. Come back to God. If right now you're experiencing something, James 4:4 tells us this. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So who's he calling adulterer? If you're a friend with who? Who's he calling an adulteress? Come on, ladies. If you're a friend of the... Yeah, it's simple, right? It's not that complicated. Okay? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But it's not what we think. It's the lifestyle you're living. It's who you are. That's what we're going to be judged for. It's not what you even think. You think, what's my image? What do people think? Who cares? What does God think? That's where we get true power. That's it. That's the truth. Friendship with the world equals enmity with God. Follow me? Here's the thing. Not every battle you're losing is an attack, because it's a test. Sometimes the battles you're losing is based off of the consequences of your actions. Sometimes the battles that have come in my life are unnecessary afflictions, Brother Chuck, because of what I have done. And guess what? I wised up quick. I'm like, no, I'm not trying to do that. Forget that. I got too much to lose, man. God's been so good to me. Why can't we be like that? We want to portray ourselves like we're, I don't know, 100%. None of us are. But I am trying to give you a lifeline and say, look, in case, okay, let's say you've been 100% so far, 100 consecutive wins. Okay, praise the Lord. But one day you're going to have a bad day, because the Bible tells you in that evil day that ye may what? Stand. You're going to have an evil day. What does that mean? A day where you're going to get attacked. And I'm trying to tell you who he defends. His servants, not the rebels. Bow your head, close your eyes. If you are right with God, if you're walking in truth, if you're living a surrendered life, then you can stand on this. No weapon shall prosper. You can stand on this. I can stand on this. If you have been blaming others, if you have been avoiding accountability, if you've been living for appearances instead of truth, today is the day to get right. Today is the day, because God doesn't just defeat weapons. You know what he does? The same thing he's done in my life. He changes surrendered lives. That's what he does. As the piano plays. You say, Pastor, what do you mean he's changed surrendered life? I had to surrender my life for him to change me from what I used to be. I was a different creature. I was an old man. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. That old man of sin. That man that did whatever he wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it. I'm only here because eventually I had to say, God, you win. I surrender. Do what you want to do with my life, whatever it is. And my friends, it started when I stopped blaming my father. It started when I stopped blaming my pastor. It started when I stopped blaming my friends' parents that would teach me Sunday school. I would blame them for everything. It stopped when I stopped avoiding accountability. I started having to make the decision and saying, you know what? I'm the one that went to that party. I'm the one that went to that side of Houston. I'm the one that went and got into those activities. I'm the one that did that. Not my friends. It wasn't their influence. I could have blamed them. I could have said, no, it's their parents because they didn't stand for anything. No, I made the decision. But it wasn't until I stopped avoiding accountability that God actually changed my life. Listen, we have some great kids and we have some good-looking kids, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what's better than that? The lives. Who are they? Are they kids that are going to grow up to be God-fearing adults? Or are they going to be kids or children that grow up to be children that just look the part? And spiritually, they're immature. And spiritually, they're going to face the hardships. And spiritually, they're going to go over and over and over that same cycle of sin that you can't get over. What is it? No weapons shall prosper. You can take that with you. It doesn't mean you're not going to face these weapons that are formed against you. The Bible does say they're going to be formed against you, but they shall not prosper.